Welcome to Media Minutes. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tatey.
After years of slashing budgets and cutting staff in newsrooms across the country, it's good to hear that at least one local TV broadcaster is finally building up its news division. The New York Times reported that KSDK-TV in St. Louis is adding newscasts, hiring staff, and buying new production equipment. But are more journalists going to be doing investigative reporting? The Times didn't mention whether actual reporters are being hired. Josh Stearns of Free Press says the Times story isn't necessarily cause to celebrate.
Well, I wish that the expansion of journalism that we're seeing in St. Louis was the whole picture, but it's really not the whole picture. What we're seeing is one station that happens to be adding a couple extra hours of news to the early mornings and late evenings, but we don't know how much of that is recycled from other newscasts and how much of that is also being shown on other stations.
As it turns out, KSDK, an NBC affiliate, is also producing news for ABC affiliate KDNL.
ABC has quietly signed away control of part of its newsroom to the local NBC station, to one of its competitors, which means fewer journalists on the ground, fewer diverse voices, and a lot less news in a town that's supposed to be seeing an increase in news.
This covert consolidation is also happening with the local Fox and CW affiliate in St. Louis. KTVI Fox 2 is producing local newscasts for KPLR 11. So the largest urban area in Missouri is actually getting less news reported by fewer journalists, leaving many stories untold and many voices unheard. The Federal Communications Commission has rules against media consolidation to keep competition and diversity in local news. But these shared service deals circumvent those rules. Covert consolidation is now happening in 100 cities across the country. It would seem that the FCC would be furious with these efforts to undermine the spirit of its regulations against consolidation.
So far, we just haven't seen that level of anger from the FCC. However, now is a great time to start getting involved in this issue because the FCC is reviewing all of their media ownership rules this fall. So what we're trying to do is to make sure that this issue of covert consolidation, like what's happening in St. Louis, is a central issue in the FCC's ownership review and that we make sure that the FCC responds.
For more information about covert consolidation and to find out if it's happening in your area, go to savethenews.org.
One thing to note right up front is that there are two copyrights in music.
Casey Ray Hunter is the deputy director of the Future of Music Coalition, a nonprofit organization that focuses on policies affecting musicians and their fans. And thanks to a little-known copyright provision put into place in the 1970s, the policy arena is set to shake up the music industry significantly in the coming years.
So there's the composition copyright. You can think of notes on paper for that. And then there's the sound copyright, which is more like music captured on tape or hard drive.
This sound copyright was traditionally held by labels and publishers, who then in turn did the work of getting the music out to the broader public. Back in the days before high-speed internet, home recording, and DIY publishing, labels and publishers were crucial if an artist wanted to reach an audience. But in the late 1970s, Congress overhauled copyright laws, creating a provision that returned the sound copyright to its original owners after 35 years.
The law went into effect in 1978, and that's when the clock started ticking. So what we're seeing now is a whole host of works that are eligible to revert back to their creators. So basically anything that was created after January 1, 1978 is fair game for what is called termination of transfer. And it sounds kind of like heavy and sinister, but it's actually a good thing for artists.
This transfer doesn't happen automatically. Artists have to file their intent to reclaim ownership 2 years before the deadline with the Copyright Office. And once the songs have been officially deemed eligible, they have 5 years to file another claim to actually get the rights.
Now, obviously, the companies that currently control these copyrights aren't in any hurry to give them back. But we think it's important for creators to have another bite at the apple, so to speak, because when you look at the history of the music industry, you hear all these stories about bad contracts where artists never made any money, particularly on the sound copyright side. And this would give them another opportunity. And even if they decide to re-grant their works to a label, the same label or a different label, they might have more leverage than the first time around. Obviously, no single approach is going to be appropriate for every single artist, but we think it's crucial that the artists get to exercise their rights as Congress intended.
Not surprisingly, labels and publishers, who have made tens of millions off of these songs, are reluctant to relinquish these rights in the first place. As the clock continues to count down, this debate will likely heat up. You can follow Future of Music at futureofmusic.org for more details as it develops.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.